Welcome to Living Joyfully Free. Your life, God's plan and purpose. Finding freedom, hope, and joy in the journey. With your host, Lisa Buffalo.
Hi, welcome to Living Joyfully Free. Today, my guest is Natalie Nichols. Natalie and I met several years ago, and she has been just such a blessing to me, physically, mentally, and we'll get into it about our meeting and our journey as we go along. But Natalie's a speaker, and she has been a valiant fighter of Lyme disease for years, and still is in the fighting process. Please join us as we talk about God and how He is with us, no matter how difficult our journey. So, Natalie, thank you so much for being on the show.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here with you.
Yay. Well, Natalie, you were in college at Baylor University. Things were going great. You were in the Miss Texas pageant. You were doing wonderful, and all of a sudden, life took you on a totally different journey. Would you like to share a little bit about that?
Yes, I was feeling the best I had in years. A few years prior, I'd had a little bit of health trouble, even when I transferred to Baylor University, but I pushed past it and started feeling so good from all the exercise and the physical training to be in the pageant, and just felt the best I had really my whole life. And just as, you know, it became a regular part of my life to walk out on stage competing in Miss Texas pageant and the pageants that bring you there, in a similar way, the stage of life seemed set for my entrance as far as my future and graduate degrees and career opportunities, and doors right and left seemed to be opening, and I seemed to be discovering and honing talents that I didn't know I'd ever had before. Yet just 6 weeks after the Miss Texas pageant, I began to have arm pain. I was a pianist. I was a music major at Baylor. So because of that, the pain persisted and persisted, and into the semester, one of my professors suggested that I see a hand specialist just to be sure I wasn't doing damage. It was very, very extremely painful, burning pain. Yeah. And so he said, it's just tendonitis. Just rest your arms. Don't use them in class. Don't take notes. Sleep with a brace. It'll go away. In 6 weeks, you'll be fine. Yet 6 weeks went by, several months, a year, mm-hmm. and I was still, you know, having the arm pain. And not only that, was beginning to have constitutional symptoms. And that was the first time in my life, let's see, I was 21, the first time in my life I realized that maybe my life wasn't going to go according to my plan. Maybe, just maybe, I needed to find out what God's plan was, because everything in my life up to that point, you know, you go to elementary school, you go to junior high, you finish junior high, you go to high school, finish high school, go to college, you plan on finishing college, graduate school. You know, I had it all planned. I was going to get married in my late 20s. I wasn't dating anybody, but, I mean, I had my life planned. Mm. And that was the first time that the foundation, the ground underneath me was quaking and cracking, and I began to crack with it. And I was a senior at Baylor. I had a degree plan. I was having incompletes in classes. I mean, I was a musician, so this affected a lot of my core course requirements. Mm-hmm. So I began to pray. There's nothing like affliction to open your ears to hear God. It somehow makes us so much more sensitive to Him. And I began to read Scripture so much more in tune. I had gotten to where, you know, I grew up in the Word. I grew up loving God. I had served Him in ministry. I knew Jesus as my personal Savior. I placed my trust in Him since the time I was a little girl. But, you know, leaving home, going off to college, I had just started settling into a nice lukewarm lifestyle, and here all of this hit. Wow. So I really began coming back to God with an open ear and open eyes as I read His Word. And a few weeks into that season, I was reading my Bible one morning, and I was in Zephaniah 3, and as I went from verse 18 to verse 19, it was as if the words leapt up off the page, and I could hear, you know, God speaking to me and saying, not that I heard an audible voice, but just in my mind's ear, it was as if he was telling me, this is just for you. This is just for your situation and your circumstance. And he was saying, he was letting me in on his plan and what he planned to do. And that passage says, I will undo all that afflict thee. I will gather her that was driven out at that time when I bring you again, when I return you, when I turn back your captivity before your very eyes.
Mm.
And I got excited. I told my professors, this is what God's going to do. And so, you know, I had a plan to go forward and to graduate. Yet just about 6 weeks after that period of time, I had to withdraw from college. Mm. It was, again, a doctor's suggestion, who at this time suspected chronic fatigue. And he said, just rest and you'll be fine. Just withdraw from school for a year, take some time off, because I was a real type A driven person. He said, just rest and you'll be fine. And so I withdrew from school, very frustrated, of course, because I started college when I was 16, just a few weeks after I got my driver's license. I really had my heart set on education. So it was, you know, it was a challenge to my trust in the Lord. And so here we go, another year, expecting this is going to be it. This is going to be it, I'm going to feel better. I was having such constitutional symptoms, as I mentioned earlier, not just the arm pain, but fatigue and body-wide pain and extreme brain fog and cognitive difficulties. I just had a hard time getting a paragraph from the page into my head. And that was very unusual for me. Never had experienced that in my life. So I thought, maybe this is it. This is going to help. Well, a year after that, I began to be pretty much on the couch all the time, where I couldn't really drive and was extremely confined to the house. And so that year of rest hadn't helped me. And again, I went and prayed to God. And again, he gave me a word as I was just reading in the morning. One morning in Isaiah 49, and he spoke to me again and said, there's a lot in that passage, but he said, though you were ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, soon you'll be filled with your inhabitants and those who devoured you will be far away.
Mm.
The generations born in exile will return and say, we need more room. It's crowded here. But you'll say to yourselves, who gave me these? I was exiled, rejected, barren, and alone. And he says, who can snatch the prey from the hands of a mighty man? Who can demand that a tyrant let his captives go? But the Lord says, even the captives of the most mighty and the most terrible shall all be freed, for I will fight those that fight you, and I will save your children.
Mm.
And at this time, we were just beginning the process of going through doctor to doctor to doctor to try to find the correct diagnosis. And I was looking at a lot of major, very crippling neurologic diseases right about this time period. And so that time when I felt like God spoke to me through that word and says, even the captives of the most mighty and the most terrible shall all be freed. And I thought, well, Lord, I have complete confidence in you. It doesn't matter how terrible the diagnosis, I believe you. No matter how much of a tyrant, you are going to give all these things back to me, music and piano and health and school and career. And so I had no idea at that time. I was still 3 years from being diagnosed with Lyme disease and 5 years from really believing I had Lyme.
Oh,
so I had no idea at that time how mighty of a tyrant Lyme disease is and what a comfort that word would be to me. And so 6 weeks after that, everything moves kind of in a period of 6 weeks or a year, but about 6 weeks after that word came, and I felt so confident and so had such expectation in what God was going to do. Well, about 6 weeks later, I had to get a wheelchair, went outside the house, had to use it, went outside the house, and then really within a short period of time, I had to be carried even within the home and fed and just extreme weakness for a couple of years until a period of when I say I lost my mind. And what happened was, even though Lyme disease, the spirochete bacteria infects the brain and central nervous system within the first 12 hours. For me, for the most part, except for mild cognitive symptoms or depression, my mind was spared. It still functioned for me, and I still had my memory, and I still had my basic senses. But I had a spinal tap, again, seeking a diagnosis. And for some reason, that spinal tap just set loose a fury of of brain symptoms that caused mental torture for years, really caused me to live like an animal for years. And that, for me, was the greatest trial in all that was enduring that season.
And during that time, you described it as being buried alive in fire?
Yes. At first, I felt like I just couldn't be still. I felt it was just extremely uncomfortable. I remember telling God, I mean, I didn't sleep. I was awake 24 hours a day, and I had an appointment with the doctor in a week. And I remember telling God, if you'll get me through this week, you know, I'll be so persuaded that you're the biggest God I've ever. You are so big and so powerful, God. And a week came and went, and 3 years came and went, and I was in the same situation. And what happened was I was in that state for a couple of months, and it was, to one doctor, obvious encephalitis. And this was before a Lyme disease diagnosis. And it was a neurologist, and he said, you know, she's got some kind of encephalitis. I don't know what, but we're going to put her brain is swelling. And so he put me on high-dose steroids, which initially seemed to help. But with Lyme disease infection, it's a body-wide infection, so you suppress your immune system. That infection runs rampant. So on top of the brain symptoms, which to me, I did feel buried alive. It's a sensation that still I almost have post-traumatic syndrome from. If I'm within walls for very long or things like that, it's strange how that affected me so strongly. And I felt electrocuted or burned alive in the place where you feel thoughts. It's just the strangest thing to describe, but it made me scream. And well, I mean, if you were electrocuted or burned alive but you never died, I just screamed and screamed bloody murder. And you know, the steroids initially made me so weak, I couldn't scream. And I would just roll my head back and forth, and I couldn't even, I wasn't strong enough to get any louder than a whisper. I remember just saying over and over. My mom reminds me that I said it over and over and over. Somebody help me, please. Somebody help me.
And Natalie.
Yes, when I finally did get off steroids, that became a full-blown scream. And it's so loud you could hear it outside the brick house, the big house, even though I was, you know, well within the center of the house. But the beautiful thing is that in that season of looking back, especially even by the end of it, before God turned anything around, and I may be getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I don't want to miss the chance to be clear, and that is that that season was the best thing God could do with those years of my life. That extreme suffering was the best thing, and I would have told you that it was the best thing. Especially by the end of it, because by the end of it, I had reached a place where, like Job, I said, my ears have heard of you, but now I have seen you. And that word seen in the original language means to ascertain, to be made to enjoy, to be made fully aware. It's the word Moses used when he said, show me your glory. And so God showed me his glory. He showed me who he was. And that came through, you know, removal of myself. He satisfied me with himself. And I love what Peter Creep says about that passage in Job, where that's before God gave anything back to Job. Job is fully satisfied, because by the end of Job, we see where God shows up in response to Job's grumbling and complaining and calling God on the carpet. And God says, you know, where were you when I created the earth? You know, and so, and in that, God, Job sees God, and he's satisfied. And through Job's suffering, God hollowed out a place in him where God and joy could fill it. And God is infinite joy, infinite joy. And we stuff ourselves with the small things, really, and we have no room for the great. And I had stuffed myself full of small things. And God really, he removed my will, my plans, my agenda. And even in those years where I spent a couple of years sedentary before I lost my mind, and I used to think, God's got it. I just think he's having a hard time finding where he put it. He can't remember where he put my mind. He needs to find it. But I spent a couple of years sedentary and praying and still wrestling over what I thought was an extreme loss of life, a loss of opportunity. And I would watch other girls going on in the Miss Texas pageant and think of how that was opening doors for their lives. And friends graduated from Baylor and went on with their life, and mine just stopped and stood still. And so I did come to the Lord, and I did wrestle in prayer with Him in a way. And He so graciously spoke constantly, daily, no matter how patient or immature I was.
Mm.
And whenever He spoke through a passage that really had deep meaning for me and really spoke into my situation, I would memorize it. And I had, what else was I going to do either? I had lots of time lying down on the cot, looking outside and watching birds and that type of thing. Mm. And so Psalm 23 spoke to me, and I memorized that chapter. And I did not realize how God was preparing me. We read in Exodus how God gave Moses 6 days on the mountain before He called him up in the cloud.
Right.
And that cloud, when we look at Exodus 19, when God descended on Mount Sinai, there was thunder and lightning and smoke that ascended as from a furnace and sound as a trumpet blast, and the mountain shook. I mean, it was not just something awesome. It was something frightening.
Right.
It could be frightening. And so here Moses is walking on in to God's presence, walking on into the cloud. And it could have seemed quite consuming and quite overwhelming. God gave Moses 6 days on that mountain, a season of grace in a way, before He called him in. And in those couple of years, I spent sedentary before God called me into the cloud of His glory.
Right.
He prepared me. And then when that season and that cloud did call for extreme loss of my mental abilities, my cognitive abilities, and I forgot how to read music, though I learned it when I was 5 years of age. It was the most major part of my life. And even though I forgot so many of my memories and family and friends, and even though family came to visit me and said, "She looks like a vegetable, I can't come back anymore," that's not Natalie, it's too painful. Even though it seemed everybody else, there was nobody home. There was nothing going on in my head. The scripture that I memorized, I never forgot. That was there. And in those days of, especially those first months of just feeling buried alive and feeling electrocuted, and I struggled for every breath, from the steroids caused extreme body-wide illness, struggle breathing and such pain. But the worst agony for me was in my head. And I remember telling the Lord, I cannot do this, God. I can't. I don't want to wake up tomorrow. I don't want to live the next 60 seconds. I don't want to live the next hour. I cannot bear it. And I sure don't want to wake up in the morning. And would you know that there came that scripture I had not thought about in probably weeks or months. And the Spirit of God called that scripture up in my mind, in my memory, and began to cause it to be life for me and strength for me. And that scripture I had memorized in Psalm 27, I'm just floored to this day when I think about how it begins. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid?" And God would say, "Natalie, I'm your light and your salvation. Do you need to be afraid of being alive the next 60 seconds? I'm the strength of your life. Do you need to be afraid of waking up tomorrow?" And that's what my problem was. I dreaded it. I was afraid.
Mm.
I didn't believe He could carry me through it, nor did I want Him to, really.
Right,
wanted out.
Oh, my.
But through that whole passage, it continues on and says, "Though an army encamp around me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. In the day of trouble, He will hide me in His pavilion. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He will hide me. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in the tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord." And so He would say, "Natalie, your head that has given you the greatest source of agony and really terror and torture, that is lifted up above all your enemies around you. You're not, in other words, you're not going to be consumed by it. And your enemies are not going to consume you through this. I am raising you up. I've got you in the secret place of my tabernacle. I'm hiding you. And I can hear you singing in my spirit now, but one day you are going to sing again for me, for real. And the last two verses in that passage, I mean, it still blows my mind how God works. But the last two verses in that passage, verse 13 and verse 14, say, I would have lost heart had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And he would say, Natalie, you're going to see my goodness here, here.
Oh,
you know, my plans are not for you to die, not for you to take yourself out of this world, not for me to take you out. You're going to stay here, and you're going to see my goodness here on earth in the lands of living. Verse 14 says, wait for, hope for, and expect the Lord. Be brave and of good courage. Let your heart be stout and enduring. Yes, wait for, hope for, and expect the Lord. And that is one of the ways, one of the reasons that I'm thankful for that season and thankful that that extreme torture lasted for 3 years, because that was just the beginning of my experience of God and how living and active His Word is. And, you know, Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is living and active. And the word active is in the Greek, energēs, which it was a word used in secular society to describe a medicine that was effectively engaged in the work it was designed to do. And God designed His Word to do a work in our lives. He designed His Word to do a work in my life. And up until that point, I didn't understand the degree to which He intended it to work, nor was I letting His Word do the work in my life that He desired. I didn't know what it was like to live by the life of Christ and the life of God's Word. I didn't even know it had that much life.
Right.
I didn't know it could come in and sustain you, and that it's not just words on a page. Even though, I mean, I had been in ministry, I had served the Lord, I had loved Him, I had no idea the degree to which I would fall in love with Jesus and with His Word. And so that was just the beginning of God saying, look, my Word is designed to do a work in you, and I will fulfill it. I will. And one other example, the end of those 3 years, I don't want anybody, one of the hazards of summing up 10 years, that 10 years in a wheelchair, 7 years confined to bed, and then those 3 years in severe anguish. One of the hazards of summing it up is it either seems like it was all just hunky-dory, or like I'm a super strong person, and I'm just, wow, God came, and I never had any moments of doubt or grief or anger. And that's not the case at all. I wouldn't be here if it were not for God's grace and Him filling me with His power and His life when I did nothing to earn it, you know, something I could never work up in my own flesh, my own natural man, my own abilities. And so I had many, 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 many moments in those 3 years that I wanted to take my life. And my mother, who drove up weekly to help take care of me, she would put my medications, because I couldn't sleep at all, and I screamed night and day, so there were sedatives and antidepressants and even antipsychotics, all kind of medications doctors were trying to just give me some kind of relief. And so combined, yes, they could have taken my life. So my mom locked those in the trunk of the car. You know, my family had to restrain me from guns when I was running toward the guns in the home once. And so it took God's grace. I certainly, just because of the pain, and just Jesus cried out on the cross. There's nothing wrong with crying out. I mean, I certainly reached the end of my endurance. And that is what was so great about that season, though. I think it's one of the things I miss now is I can get up and go in my own strength. And in the life of Christ, in His endurance, in His power, in His peace, in His perspective, in His joy, in His agenda, and His thoughts and His presence aren't a requirement for me. I mean, I can make it through this day without Him. I can wake up, I can live all day long, I can go to bed, and I can wake up tomorrow without Him if I so choose. But I couldn't during that season. I couldn't live autonomous of God and His life and His power. That was the real beauty for me. And so, but I was helpless until He showed up every day. And so I had my moments. I, During those 3 years, I spent much of the time on the floor next to baseboards crying and screaming. That was what was comforting to my brain for some reason, was being curled up next to a baseboard, often in the dark, but screaming so loud, I kid you not, that all, this is very literal, I'm not joking, but all the dogs in the neighborhood joined in with me, howling and screaming.
Oh.
It was very loud, and so my poor family had to live with that night and day.
Oh, my.
There was one day, for most of that season, I couldn't read and didn't smile. I mean, my mind just didn't function normally. But every now and then, once every few months, God would give me a reprieve, once a year, maybe twice a year.
Oh.
And there was one season I remember towards the end. I didn't know it was towards the end, but I began to be able to, I was able to read a passage, and it was Psalm 62. And again, it spoke to me. And so somehow, in the middle of all of that, God gave me grace to memorize it. Because I had to. I mean, I had to have those things on the tip of my tongue for those awful moments of anguish. And this is what that passage says. God, truly, at first when I read it, I thought, you are off your rocker, God. I cannot see this. But he worked it in me. And this is the passage. It says, my soul wait only upon God and silently submit to him, for my hope and expectation are from him. What he said to me in that was, Natalie, your hope and expectation is in me alone, not in your spouse, not in your parents, not in a doctor, not in a cure. I mean, I had seen over 60 doctors for a diagnosis. We had had, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of things. I had gone through different treatments and therapies to try to seek any relief. At that point, not even a cure, just some relief. He was saying, and still, I was scratching and worrying and trying to figure out, how are you going to, I've got to have some relief, God, I've got to have some relief. What are you going to do? What doctor are you going to use? And what he was saying was, Natalie, yes, put your hope in me and let go. And the passage continues in verse 6 and says, for he alone is my rock and my salvation, my defense and my fortress. I will not be moved. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in him. So what the Lord said is, your salvation rests with me, and with God rests my salvation and my glory, is what the passage said. And so what God was saying is, Nellie, your way out of this rests with me. I see the day that you're on the phone with Lisa Buffalo and living joyfully free. Years later, I see the day I couldn't even hold the phone to talk, and here I am holding the phone talking to you, you know, waving my arms. I'm not in a wheelchair, sitting at my desk. And so he was saying, Nellie, I'm not worried about how I'm going to bring you out of this. Why are you? I'm not having to scratch and worry and finagle and figure out, oh, my word, I didn't know this was going to happen to Nellie. How in the world am I going to bring her out? So, Nellie, I'm at peace. This rests with the, why should you worry? There's nothing that your worry can accomplish, so just let go and trust in me. I'm your rock of unyielding strength. And Philippians 4:13 says that we are infused with the very life of Christ. And if his strength is unyielding and impenetrable, then so is ours. And so what God was saying is, Natalie, there is no end to what you can endure in my power. And so you can't say, I can't, that you've got to figure out how to kill yourself or how to get me to take you or whatever, because I would spend so much time every day going, God, I can't do this. Still, please take me home. Please take me home. So when God first spoke that, I'm just going, oh, God, I cannot see this. The human part of me was saying, you have got to be kidding me, God.
Right.
But as I meditated on it for weeks and months, it became reality in my life. I mean, that just blows my mind how living and active God's Word is. It literally became, my whole being changed to where I really was at peace. My hope and expectation really was in God. I really wasn't worried, no matter how much I was suffering. And also, by that point, 3 years living like that, I had so many moments that I was at the end of my rope, next to the baseboard, screaming and crying, seeing, you know, this whole thing is just hell on earth. And then suddenly the Spirit of God would come and fill me up, the life of Christ, and so give me his joy and his peace, as I mentioned before, in his end of time perspective. And this totally changed everything, my feelings, my thoughts, everything to where 1 minute, you know, I wanted to die, and the next minute I'm singing, God, great is your faithfulness.
Mm.
You know, if I never get up from here, God, if you never change anything, you're faithful. I love you. Thank you for stripping me bare so that I might know you.
Mm.
And so by the end of that period, at about the same time that God spoke Psalm 62 to me, I had so many times and so many days that the life of Christ filled me like that. And as a young girl, when I put my faith in Christ, I became so aware of the fact that I was a sinner and that, like everyone else on this earth, I inherited a sin nature. And Scripture says that we all have fallen short of the glory of God. We all have sinned, and that the wages or the price for this sin is death and separation from God. And so even at 5 years of age, I just knew, God, I am going to die and be eternally separated from you if I don't put my faith in Jesus Christ, who came and came to earth, the Son of God, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, took the punishment for my sins, rose on the third day, conquering sin and death and the grave. And so even as a young girl, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, invited him to come in and be my guide and my ruler and my Lord. And Scripture says when we do that, that the Spirit of God sets up residence in us. And so from the time of a young child, I had had the life of Christ living in me and had heard his voice and knew him and loved him, but I'd never reached the point, or as I mentioned before, where I just couldn't exist autonomous of God, where I had to have him live for me. There's a big difference in him living in me and living for me.
True.
And he really became a requirement for me. So by the end of those 3 years, back to the end of the point I was making, I realized that nothing in this world compared to knowing Jesus like that. That was the most intimate exchange, him taking my suffering, my pain, my flesh, my weariness, replacing it with his life, his power, his peace, his joy. That is the most intimate experience of Jesus Christ, and nothing in the world compares to that. And so I just remember saying, God, this, it doesn't matter if you ever change anything. Knowing you is worth it. I'm fine, God. If you don't ever change anything about my health, you can leave me right here like this. Because knowing you is better than anything else. It's better than health. It's better than career. It's better than education. I'm content, God. I'm content. And over this past Thanksgiving weekend, I was thinking about the fact that often, for me, I learned the most contentment and the most gratitude, filled with the most thanksgiving in the season of the most suffering in my life.
Yeah.
More so even than now. I am prone to ingratitude and complaining now. But it was because of that experience of Jesus Christ. So, yes, those years were the best thing God could do. That suffering was the best thing God could do with those years of my life.
Wow. Well, Natalie, there's a lot of people that would not understand that at all. And while you were talking, I was having to turn down my volume so I could blow my nose and stuff because I understand. The times where I was too sick to move and all I could do was lay in my recliner and couldn't read, couldn't listen to anything. I mean, I could not stand any movement, any sound. And as awful as that was, it was the best time because all I could do is spend time with God. And it was awesome. It
yeah.
was awesome when he strips yeah. us away and we see, you know, it's him. It is all about him. And there is such amazing joy. I love that you brought up what Job said. And you're right. His situation hadn't changed at that time. It was just the fact that I see you. I understand. There's this amazing intimacy with God when we, even through times of suffering, that we let go. When we let him be everything to us.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened? Been through 3 years of agony. What happened?
Well, I think God was, you know, he had many things divinely purposed. And that season came that he first spoke about in Zephaniah 3 when he said, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee. And so that appointed time came. And it just so happened that right before that appointed time is when I finally said, God, I'm content. You don't have to change anything. And lo and behold, then he began changing everything and giving back my health. But he brought along a treatment, and he worked through medication. This was a treatment from outside the United States called Live Cell Therapy. And through that, he began to restore my mind and my strength. And it was very, very slow. It took months before I really began reading regularly. And the first things were reading and laughing that I noticed and feeling pleasure again. And rooms appeared normal and light appeared normal and all those kinds of things. But after that came physical therapy. But it took about, it was 5 more years before, this was 1998, and my last time in the wheelchair was the middle of 2003. So it took 5 years to get out of the wheelchair for good. And from then on, I'm still improving and still on medical therapy, most of it natural for the most part. But God is still in the process of restoring my health. He's doing it slowly, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that because it, you know, causes me to keep myself in check. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be weak. God is attracted to weakness. And we can see it in the servants that he chose who were weak. I mean, Moses, who complained about his time, and Gideon, and so many who just said, I'm weak, I'm the least, I can't do it. And so being weak in body has been for me a privilege. When Paul was praying over his thorn, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And the term made perfect in the original language means completed or accomplished or fulfilled. And God's power is completed and accomplished in our weakness. And Paul said, so therefore I'll be all the more loud-tongued about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. Therefore I'll delight in weakness and hardship and insult and persecution and difficulty, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And so being weak, a lot of us, we feel a lot of inadequacies. Being weak, even in my body, and I know you understand this, Lisa, it's one more in a deep experience of Jesus Christ that we have to have that maybe healthy people don't.
Yeah.
You know, we have to have him show up in our body. And even before I took this call from you today, I still have what is called brain fog. And you may have experienced that too,
right,
in your illness. But it before I do anything, before I ever speak, before I do something like this with you, I feel completely 100% incapable.
Mm-hmm.
And today is one of those days that the brain fog is terrible. I didn't sleep last night, and I just feel like I can't think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it.
Yeah.
So just throwing myself on the mercy of God and saying, Lord, I'm weak, but you are strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so for that reason, I'm thankful that God is taking his time, because it forces me to be dependent on him. And being dependent on him is where we ought to be, because none of us have the power to be God over our lives.
Right.
But we fall into the trap, and we buy the illusion that we do have that power, and we can be God over our lives, and we can be in control. And so when something rattles your world physically, just a constant reminder that, no, I can't be in control. No, I'm not God over my life. Yes, I have to be dependent on God.
Mm. I'm just sitting here processing. And Natalie, it's just beautiful listening to your testimony about God. And it is such an amazing thing. There's this upside down thinking when it comes to God, and his ways are not our ways. And the things that we think will bring happiness and joy are so temporary. When we look to this earth for our fulfillment, we never will be fulfilled. We'll always come up empty, because inside of us, I heard a song this yesterday I was listening, and it says, my heart has been designed for your touch. And it's true. There is no nothing that this world can give us that will fulfill us other than God, because we were created by God, for God. And when we come into his presence, that is where we get fulfilled. That is the true fulfillment of who we are and who we were created to be. It's an amazing thing.
Right.
Well, you also, in your times of once God brought some measure of healing. You established Shades of Grace Ministries, which you have spoken to retreats like the one I was on, and you were instrumental in helping me get treatment for my Lyme disease and helping me not only in that aspect, but in your friendship and the times we could pray together and email back and forth and encourage one another. It's just been an incredible blessing for my journey. I'm so grateful God brought us together.
I am too. Mm-hmm. And as you know, and I'll clue everyone listening in, but you know that I've struggled this year in my health. And just from too busy of a schedule the past few years. And I have been so grateful. You have been such an encouragement to me in our emails. And you are someone I know who understands completely. And so I've been perfectly candid with you. And behind the scenes, not too many people have known, but you have known. And you have prayed for me. And you have sent me such sweet, encouraging messages. And I am so blessed to know you. I'm so glad God caused our paths to cross.
Oh, me too. That is the amazing thing about God. When we're seeking Him, He brings His children together. It is such an encouragement and such a wonderful thing that if you're lonely out there, seek God first. And as He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. It is so true. And so often we look for people or situations or belongings to fill those voids when it's God that we need. And as we seek Him, the true things that we need, we find.
That's right. He is our greatest need. He is our one true need. And the one thing He's after in allowing so many different difficulties in our lives, He's just after relationship. And we come to Him and we pray, but the greatest priority is relationship with Him. And these needs just bring us to Him often. When maybe we wouldn't talk to Him, we wouldn't dare. We'd be too busy or too busy watching TV or on Twitter or Facebook. But when needs in our lives and problems and difficult circumstances, then we begin to pray. Begin to seek Him and begin to hear Him. And I know that firsthand.
Yeah. You know, the word that just keeps coming to mind is restoration, and it's bigger than what you were thinking when you were 21 and thinking of how God would restore you. Or in my version of what would have happened, you would have gone through a little bit of difficulties, and then you would have gotten Miss America title. You would have gone on, traveled the world, and talked to people, blah, 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 blah. And as opposed to the restoration of us spiritually that God intends, because for whatever we lose in the world's eyes and we gain with Christ is worth it. It is so worth it. There is nothing that I wish I could have had other than the time with God. Nothing. Nothing.
Right. Right. That's like Paul. Whatever things were to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. Because more I consider everything a loss. Nothing compares to knowing Jesus. So that is the truth. And you're right, I did envision, especially when God spoke those words, and as time went by and I began to see, I just thought, you know, he would give everything back in my 20s. Like, I was a big snow skier, and there were just specific things I thought God would give that specific thing back. And you're right, the pageant things or graduate degrees, they were just specific things. And then as I entered my 30s, and I'm thinking, well, wait, God, it's too late for that. So I had a whole different picture. And yes, God is fulfilling His promise. And He said the generations born in exile will return, meaning what was taken away will give birth and come back. And, you know, more than just what you lost will come back. And that's what He's doing. And when He said, you'll say to yourself, it's too crowded here, give me more room. And it has been crowded at Shades of Grace.
Oh.
That's why my schedule has been so full. And so he is keeping His word.
Right.
It's just His version of His word.
Right.
And I interpreted it differently at first. But He is faithful. He is so faithful to His word.
Oh, yeah. When you look back, I look back at my life and I see all the things that happened and the illnesses and the moves and And then I don't know how much longer I have, but I look back and I go, wow, look how everything was orchestrated and the people I've met along the way that helped grow me and helped minister to me and that I could minister to them. And there's just this huge tapestry that we won't see fully till we get with Him in heaven. But oh, what an experience when we say, Lord, take away my perspective. Give me your perspective. I want to see what you're doing, not what I think. Not take my eyes off the doors that I think will open and put my eyes on the doors that you will open.
That's right.
Oh, Natalie, and to pray that take away my desires, make your desires my desires.
Yes.
Oh, what? And then there is just people fight God and they want things their way, not realizing that God's ways are the best and His plans are truly good for us. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're good plans. They're just so awesome.
Yes, right. I agree.
So, you know, I tell you, I'm just so glad to get to talk to you again. We don't get to talk enough. And I think about both of our pathways. And boy, I'm on a different path than I thought I'd be on. And watching how God has used you over the years that I've known you and ministering to so many people and how you still minister to people. And it's just so cool, Natalie, so cool how He has allowed us to be part of this epic adventure that life is.
Isn't that true? Life with Jesus is an adventure. Mm. It just rocks your world.
It does. It does. And if we seek Him and search Him and going through difficulties, I know there are so many of my friends, and I know you know so many people that are going through difficulties. What is some advice that you would give to them?
I would say, of course, seek God, go to His Word, and persist, but also, I guess, cease and desist would be a good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there was so often I wrestled, but God is our Father, Scripture says, and if I was upset at my own dad, He would let me go and beat my fist against His chest and hold me as I cried, and then until when my strength totally ran out from all my arguing and frustration, He would say, now, can I tell you why I made the decision I made? Can I show you what I'm really doing?
Mm.
Can I show you the path ahead and why this is best for you? You know, God does not lose patience with us. He doesn't. When we're seeking Him honestly and coming to Him, God allowed Job to go through, to throw his tantrum too. There's a time to be angry. And there's a time, I love the psalmist.
Mm.
I love how David in Psalm 42 gets out his frustrations, but then says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him.
Mm.
There's a time to come full circle and let God speak and say, okay, I believe you. And it's not that we don't go to God with our anger. God's big enough to handle it. And if we withhold part of our conversation from God, we're in essence saying, you can't be trusted with it.
Mm.
You're not big enough. But He's big enough. You look at this, read the Psalms.
Yes.
Read the Psalms is the most encouraging part to me, going through difficulties, or the psalmist, because they're honest with God.
Yeah.
But they also let God speak.
Right.
And so there, don't withhold anything from God. Be honest with Him.
Mm-hmm.
But then listen. You know, at the end of all of that, and when you've poured your heart out to Him, He will speak and open the Word, open the Bible. He will breathe life into your situation. Psalm 119:50 says, this is my comfort and consolation in my affliction, that your Word has revived me and given me life. And David said in Psalm 119, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. The law from your mouth or the word from your mouth is more precious to me than silver and gold.
Mm.
There are treasures in the Word, treasures more valuable than anything we can imagine. And so I would say, go to Him and go to His Word, and He will speak, and wait for His grace. Wait for His grace. It will come. It will come. He will give you His enabling, His perspective, and His peace, and His power, His presence. It will come.
Mm-hmm.
It will. and it will be there. And that's why Shades of Grace is called Shades of Grace Ministries and not Natalie Nichols Ministries. If Natalie Nichols didn't bring herself through that, it was just because of God's grace, just because of His grace. And that's the greatest miracle on this earth, is the life of Jesus Christ in us, living for us. Greater than health, greater than being a millionaire, greater than all the turnaround God's given me, greater than so many miracles that we could want. The miracle of God's grace in us is the greatest, the greatest miracle, and an eternal miracle.
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, and I like that you brought out to honestly come to Him, because God says He looks for those that worship Him in honesty and the truth factor. He already knows what you're thinking. He already knows that you're upset or you're hurt or whatever. He already knows it. And when we are honest in our relationships, it is freeing. And when we free ourselves up to come to God and say, "You already know this, but I'm upset or I'm hurt or I don't understand." Be honest with Him, because it takes your relationship to the level that God is looking for. He wants us. He knows what we're already thinking, but He wants us to honestly come to Him. And the cease striving, it's that, I love what you said about your dad, you know, that you could beat on his chest and then he'd say, "Okay, now can we talk?" So, oh, beautiful. Natalie, that's just beautiful. Thank you. Natalie, is there anything else you want to share or anything that God has stirred on your heart?
The greatest thing I just have on my heart is just God's grace for whoever is listening. And no matter what you have done that makes you feel unworthy, God is a God of forgiveness, a God of mercy. We are all unworthy. Mm. We are all. Don't let that keep you from His presence. And when we ask for forgiveness, He forgives. And you may feel unworthy of His grace, unworthy of His sustaining power, unworthy to come and tell Him how you feel. But His grace covers all. His love covers all. Just don't let that keep you from Him. Come, go to Him today. Before you even finish listening to this, come to Him honestly. Ask Him to forgive and listen to His heart, because He's calling you today. He's calling you to His throne. He's calling you to sit beside Him, and He wants to cup your face in His hands and tell you how much He loves you, how precious, how valuable you are to Him, that He has the hairs on your head numbered, that He's delighting Himself in the details of your lives. He wants to tell you how He's at work, but most of all, He wants you to feel His love, feel His guiding hand, know His infilling power. And I just believe He just wants to speak about His grace. I think that's the greatest thing today that I keep hearing in my spirit over and over, is that no amount of human effort, no amount of human frailty or perfection, either one, we're all of our righteous acts are as filthy rags. It doesn't matter. But God is great, and His grace covers all.
Amen. More. I don't want to go. Do we have to go? Oh, Natalie, I so appreciate you being here. What a blessing. And I so thank you. And thank you for your sweet friendship and all the ways you have blessed me abundantly over the years. It's just such a wonderful thing knowing that you were always out there and you knew how to pray. And just, I really thank you for that. And
It's been a mutual blessing for sure. I'm so grateful to know you, and it's been such an honor to be with you. I look forward to what God has in store for you
and you
and what is good in your life.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Always interesting.
Please visit Natalie on her website at shadesofgrace.org. That's www.shadesofgrace.org.
Natalie's also on Facebook and Twitter, so please connect with her. She's just an amazing woman of God and a precious friend. Keep up with her. Watch what God is doing in her life. She will bless you abundantly as she presses into God and He uses her in amazing ways.
Please join me next week for my guest, Wendy Saxton.
Wendy is an author and a speaker and a founder of The Medicine Place, which ministers to hurting women. And she's also the author of The Jonah Chronicles. Join us. You will be blessed with her testimony and her love and passion for God. Thank you for being here, and have a living, joyfully free day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Living Joyfully Free Radio with your host, Lisa Buffalo. We'd love to hear from you. You can visit Living Joyfully Free Radio online at www.livingjoyfullyfree.com.